Section 3. The subject applied. 1. Hence we learn one reason why there are but few saved, and why so many perish from under the gospel. All men know that they must die, and all that sit under the light of the gospel have been told many a time, that after this there is another world. That there are but two states in that other world, a state of eternal happiness, and a state of eternal misery, that there is but one way of escaping the misery and obtaining the blessedness of eternity, which is by obtaining an interest in Christ, through faith in Him. And that this life is the only opportunity of obtaining an interest in Christ. Yet men are so much given to flatter themselves in those ways which we have mentioned, that there are but few that seasonably take care of their salvation. Indeed, they cannot but be in some measure concerned about their souls. Yet they flatter themselves with one thing or other, so that they are kept steadily and uninterruptedly going on in the broad way to destruction. 2. Hence we learn the reason why awakening truths of Scripture, and awakening sermons, make no more impression upon men. It is in itself a wonderful and surprising thing, that God's denunciations of eternal misery, and threatenings of casting sinners into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever, do not affect them, do not startle them. The truth is, they flatter themselves, by such means as we have mentioned, that this dreadful misery is not for them. That they shall escape it, though multitudes of others are involved in it. They take not these threatenings to themselves. They seem to think that they do not belong to them. How many are there, who, for all the awakening sermons they have heard, are yet secure in sin? And who, although they are sensible that they are in a Christless condition, and are still going on in sin, yet intend to go to heaven, and expect that by some means or other they shall arrive there? They are often told that God is very angry with them, yet they think God is a very merciful God, and they shall be able to pacify Him. If they be told how uncertain life is, that doth not awaken them, because they flatter themselves with long life. If they be told how dangerous it is to delay the business of religion, they promise themselves that they will hereafter engage in it with more earnestness than others, and so obtain the end, the salvation of their souls. Others, when they are told that many shall seek who shall not be able to obtain, think surely that they, having done so much for salvation, shall not be denied. 3. Let every sinner examine whether he do not flatter himself in some of those ways which have been mentioned. What is it in your own minds which makes you think it is safe for you to delay turning to God? What is it that encourages you to run such a venture as you do, by delaying this necessary work? Is it that you hope there is no such state as heaven or hell, and have a suspicion that there is no God? Is it this that makes you secure? Or is it that you are not much afraid but that you shall have opportunity enough a great while hence to mind such things? Is it an intention of a future seeking at a more convenient season? And are you persuaded that God will hearken to you then, after you shall have so long turned a deaf ear to His commands and gracious invitations? Are you encouraged to commit sin, because you hope to repent of it? Are you encouraged by the mercy of God to be His enemies? And do you resolve still to provoke Him to anger, because you think He is easily pacified? Or do you think that your conversion is in your own power, and that you can turn to God when you please? Is it because you have been born of godly parents that you are so secure? Or do you imagine that you are in a fair way to be converted? Do you think that what you have done in religion will engage God to pity you, and that He never can have the heart to condemn one who has lived in so orderly a manner? Or do you think that you are indeed converted already? And doth that encourage you to take a liberty in sinning? Or are you secure, because you are so stupid as to think nothing about these things? Do you let these concerns wholly alone, and scarcely ever think at all how it will be with you after you are dead? Certainly it must be one or more of these things which keeps you in your security, and encourages you to go on in sin. Examine therefore, and see which of them it is. 4. Be persuaded to leave off thus flattering yourselves in your own eyes. You are here informed that those who do as you do, commonly continue so doing till their punishment actually comes upon them. Thereby you may be convinced of the vanity of all such flatteries. Be afraid of that which you are sure is the devil's bait. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. Proverbs 1:17. You are not only told in the Scriptures, that sinners are generally thus allured to hell, but your own reason may convince you that it is so, for doubtless other sinners have as much ground to hope and escape a punishment as you. And it is evident that they generally do hope to escape. Men under the gospel almost universally think they shall not go to hell. If it were otherwise, they could have no peace or comfort in the world. Yet what multitudes have we reason to conclude go down from under the preaching of the gospel to the pit of destruction? Now, this is surely enough to convince any sober, prudent person of the folly of such flattery, and of the folly of everyone that doth not immediately set about this great work with his might. If you could have access to the damned, you would hear many of them curse themselves, for thus flattering themselves while they lived in this world. And you would have the same doctrine preached to you by their wailings and yellings which is now delivered to you. If your temptation to security be unbelief of the fundamental doctrine of religion, such as the being of God, of another world, and an eternal judgment, you may consider that though that makes you secure at present, yet it will not do always, it will not stand by when you come to die. The fool often in health saith, there is no God. But when he comes to die, he cannot rest in any such supposition. Then he is generally so much convinced in his own conscience that there is a God, that he is in dreadful amazement for fear of his eternal wrath. It is folly, therefore, to flatter yourselves with any supposition now, which you will not then be able to hold. If you depend on long life, consider how many who have depended on the same thing, and had as much reason to depend on it as you, have died within your remembrance. Is it because you are outwardly of an orderly life in conversation, that you think you shall be saved? How unreasonable is it to suppose that God should be so obliged by those actions, which he knows are not done from the least respect or regard to him, but wholly with a private view? Is it because you are under great advantages, that you are not much afraid but that you shall sometime or other be converted, and therefore neglect yourselves and your spiritual interests? And were not the people of Bethsaida, Chorazin, and Capernaum, under as great advantages as you, when Christ himself preached the gospel to them, almost continually, and wrought such a multitude of miracles among them? Yet he says, that it shall be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah, than for those cities. Do you expect you shall be saved, however you neglect yourselves, because you were born of godly parents? Hear what Christ saith, Matthew 3:9. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Do you flatter yourselves that you shall obtain mercy, though others do not, because you intend hereafter to seek it more earnestly than others? Yet you deceive yourselves, if you think that you intend better than many of those others, or better than many who are now in hell once intended. If you think you are in a way of earnest seeking, consider whether or no you do not mind other things yet more. If you imagine that you have it in your own power to work yourselves up to repentance, consider that you must assuredly give up that imagination before you can have repentance wrought in you. If you think yourselves already converted, and that encourages you to give yourselves the greater liberty in sinning, this is a certain sign that you are not converted. Wherefore abandon all these ways of flattering yourselves. No longer follow the devil's bait. And let nothing encourage you to go on in sin. But immediately and henceforth seek God with all your heart, and soul, and strength.